You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome, citizens, to this day in history with Benjamin J. Goldson.
Is my mic on? Not too much, look. It's a good little tune that I do like to sort of hum it to myself when I have to walk somewhere. Anyway, this day in history takes us back to 1949 and the relocation of the Nationalists in the Republic of China to the island of Taiwan. This came after decades of civil war between the Nationalists, or Kuomintang, and the Chinese Communist Party, which had been briefly halted by a Japanese invasion.
Never before has war raged across the heart of one of the world's great cities. Never before has the full horror and tragedy been so truly reported by the newsreel camera. Shanghai is a city etched with the smoke and fire of continuous bombardment. The flag still flies, but pierced by a gunshot. Time and again the Chinese fight their way to the waterfront, time and again to be driven back by Japanese aerial bombardment. Handbills bring news of life and death to a city in a state of siege. Refugees save what they can from wrecked homes. Fire follows in the wake of destruction from the skies. Sandbags to protect what is left of buildings. Police and soldiers rescue accused spies from mobs trailing menacingly behind, demanding death for suspect traitors. 1,000 men of the Ulster Rifles land to bring safety and order to the international city, now an island in a surging sea of battle. More British women and children leave husbands and fathers behind, fleeing from a land of terror.
After the surrender of Japan in World War II, tensions between the former allies led to a resumption of the Civil War, with the United States supporting the Nationalists and the Soviet Union doing the same for the Communists.
The Generalissimo of China, Chiang Kai-shek, returns to Shanghai. At the airport, General Wiedemeyer of the United States Army greets him. For 9 war-torn years, the Generalissimo has not been in Shanghai. And the people turn out to give him an enthusiastic welcome, breaking through police lines to surge around the official car. Almost 250,000 people pack into the race course to catch a glimpse of China's leader and to hear him speak. With Madame Chiang, the Generalissimo mounts to the speaker's stand. The great Chinese port city, still recovering from its years of Japanese occupation, greets his speech with cheers. Chiang Kai-shek rejoices in his nation's return to peacetime life.
Looking down on the Soviet consulate in Shanghai, where crowds of Chinese students besieged the building in a full-scale protest demonstration. Cause of the trouble was Russia's delay in withdrawing her troops, who took over Manchuria after Japan's defeat. Young nationalist agitators work up an energetic meeting with speeches, banners, and slogans. Nevertheless, faces don't reflect much political feeling. Big moment came when the crowd assembled for a mass march through the Shanghai streets. After these meetings, news came that Russian troops were pulled out of Chinese Manchuria. But as soon as they left, Chinese communist forces moved in and took over the key cities of Mukden and Harbin. Generalissimo Chiang Kai-shek is reported to be taking action to clear up a dangerous situation, and China faces still another troubled time.
Te Waia Tēnei, Marunga BFM. This day in history, we'll be back after a short break.
Deck the halls and set fire to a pudding. 95BFM is putting the chur back into Yuletide cheer with a massive Christmas party blowout at the King's Arms.
With Cody Nelson,
soccer practice,
ounce,
PHF,
totems,
the pleasure magenta,
Diggy Dupe,
Wukong the Monkey King,
Night Pottery,
Melanin Kin,
and
some hot, cool BFF DJs.
It's bigger than the creepy Queen Street Santa. The 95 BFM Christmas Party, December 15th at the King's Arms. Koha Entry. Brought to you by Jim Beam, the world's number one bourbon.
Hey, hey, hey. It's me, non-denominational Father Holiday. Having trouble deciding what to purchase your loved ones / relatives for your religious or non-religious giving festival? Well, what about the gift of Slow Dive, the internet, Aldous Harding, and Bad Bad Not Good? The gift of a rad time in a lovely park. Father Holiday says everyone wants Laneway tickets. St. Jerome's Laneway Festival 2018. January 29th, Auckland Anniversary Day, Albert Park Precinct. For tickets and the full lineup, go to lanewayfestival.co.nz. Hey, hey,
hey. Oh, you goddamn poo, you just crashed into my Macedemio.
I crashed into you. You just crashed into me.
No, you merged incorrectly. Merged like a zipper. Z-I-P-P-A.
I was merging like a zipper.
Not like any zip I've ever seen.
What kind of zip goes 232?
What kind of zips we have in Koimarama? What are you doing? Don't know the road.
Do all your clothes fall apart?
What are you listening to?
I'm listening to BFM Drive.
Oh my god, I'm listening to BFM Drive.
Shut up.
No, I won't shut up. I love it so much.
Shut
I like talking
up.
About it. It's
I
my
love
favorite
it.
Radio station
it's
thing.
It's my favorite too. Hey, 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 hey.
What are you doing?
Should we get married?
Oh my god, why are you down on one knee?
Will you marry me?
Of course I will. Oh my god, this is the best day of my life.
I'm so happy. Oh my god, I have to call my mum.
Yeah, what's her name?
Tammy.
Cute. Should we take your car or mine?
I don't know if either of them will drive.
Taxi.
Let's can do that.
You got back there. Nice.
Good shit happens when you let BFM drive into your precious automobile. Every weekday from 4 till 7, Johnny and Big Hungry sweeten the blow of your homeward commute with all the good features and all the good tunes to keep you ticking along. BFM Drive with Johnny and Big Hungry, every weekday from 4 till 7.
Kei te whakarongo koe ki te wire, marunga irirangi pō.
The Wire.
We now return to this day in history. When we left off, the Chinese Civil War was ongoing and the US-aligned nationalists were losing.
Shanghai Harbour is jammed with small craft as refugees desperately grasp at any form of transportation to flee the West's biggest outpost in Asia. These first pictures of the great exodus from Shanghai arrive simultaneously with the news that the Red Armies have now completely encircled the city and cut off the last road of escape. As the retreating nationalist troops pour into the huge metropolis, confusion increases. While a number of the city's British colony is still determined to stay on, others now hurry to leave. Some join the American nuns aboard the President Wilson, one of the official evacuation ships. Plans are ready for the Navy to evacuate the others. Aboard the liner, every available inch is pressed into service. As the ship pulls out, there closes one of the last gates to freedom. Those Britons who remain flock with others to Hongqiao Cemetery, to pay a last tribute to the 23 sailors killed on the Yangtze. Shipmates from the cruiser London and the sloop Black Swan carry them to their last resting place. The London's captain, Peter Cazalet, wounded in the battle, limps along with other mourners. The nation's sympathy goes out to the families so tragically bereaved. Their menfolk died gallantly, defending to the last the proud name of the Royal Navy.
With the Red Army conquering China, fear-ridden Shanghai crowds see nationalist soldiers vent their fury upon suspected communist sympathizers who are executed in the streets with little ceremony. In a mood verging on panic, a crowd of 100,000 battle police to witness the executions as stark terror stalks the city. The end of all chance of democratic freedom approaches. The Red Army is at the gates. Communist shore batteries trap the British cruiser London in the Yangtze. 44 men are lost before she escapes to Shanghai badly battered. Americans and British leave by every means possible. Some have to be carried aboard trains as the traditional open door in China is slammed shut. With a flat ultimatum from Red authorities, civil and military contingents depart to avoid clashes that could spark a third world war. Nuns who have spent their lives in religious teaching know that communism will not tolerate them. Shanghai becomes another Red outpost.
A monster rally in Shanghai celebrates communism's greatest victory since the coup in Czechoslovakia. 5 months ago, the troops of Mao Tse-tung marched into Shanghai unopposed. That victory was celebrated in July at a gigantic parade in what is today the largest red city in the world, now so isolated that these pictures took 3 months to reach Britain. In those 3 months, the Reds have changed the face of China and brought the world's largest country within the communist empire.
Defeated, the nationalists retreated to the island nation of Taiwan on this day in history, 1949. They declared the new People's Republic of China was illegal and claimed authority over the mainland with the support of the United States. The area became a flashpoint for conflict in the Cold War, with the first Taiwan Straits crisis taking place in 1955.
Tension is high on Formosa as ships of the American Navy bring thousands of Chinese refugees to the island. They come from the Tachin Islands. As a health measure, each is sprayed with DDT powder as he comes ashore. All this time, other ships are evacuating troops from the Tachins, leaving the deserted islands to the invading communists. Anything destroyable has been destroyed. The homes the people left, the shops and office buildings, even the crops in the fields. To the southwest in the Formosa Straits lies nationalist-held Quemoy, an island outpost of vital importance to the defense of Formosa. America is not committed to shield Quemoy from the Reds, who have vowed to capture it. Despite the fact that communist guns are only 5 miles away on the Chinese mainland, the people go about their business calmly. As Quemoy watches and waits for its fate, comes the news that power in Russia has changed hands. Early in 1950, a scene was enacted in Moscow that left no doubt as to the close bonds between Russia and Red China. Mao Tse-tung, chairman of the Chinese People's Republic, met Mr. Molotov. Bulganin, Russia's new boss, looked on. Bulganin, when he took over Malenkov's role, said that China could count on help from their true friend, the Soviet Union. In 1948, the man who has recently been made Russia's defense minister, Marshal Zhukov, was decorated by Field Marshal Montgomery. Zhukov is backed by the Red Army and is one of their most popular leaders. Thus, the Russian army has a vast influence on the Soviets' policy. Will they use this power to force open conflict on Formosa? Or will Russia's new leaders cooperate with the Western Big Three, as in World War II, and ease tension in the Far East?
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.